A concern about trees in coastal areas only seems to rise with time. Sudden oak death is caused by a fungus and, as the name implies, kills oak trees rather quickly. It's confined to coastal areas now, but the concern is that it will spread, which is why a sudden oak death task force recently brought together several levels of government on the Oregon coast. Oregon Representative David Brock Smith of Curry County is a key player. We talked to him several days ago.
There are actually two types of fungus that are attacking the trees.
Correct. You have the NA1, or the North American strain of sod, and you have the EU1, which is the European strain of sod. The European strain is much more aggressive and affects conifers, which, of course, with our industries on the South Coast and Southwest Oregon in general, would be devastating in an already depressed economy.
You alluded to the economic threats that these two fungal infections pose to the South Coast economy. Can you enumerate on those?
The number could be just unmanageable in the multi-billion dollars. If you look at the nursery industry, if you look at the wood products industry, if you look at the Port of Coos Bay and the exports and the dollars that have been invested and the future dollars that should, could, and will be invested in the Port of Coos Bay for exports are all in jeopardy. You are talking billions and billions of dollars. And again, this is all happening in an already severely depressed economy. Southwest Oregon has not recovered from the recession. We're still 6.4% below recession zero in recovery. I'm on the school board for Port Orford Langlois, and we are the eighth highest impoverished district in the nation, and we have over 70% free and reduced lunch in our lunch program. So we're in a situation where this has the potential to be not just devastating to the natural resource industry, but really devastating to economies that are already struggling so much.
David Brock Smith, Oregon State Representative from Curry County, in talking with John Baxter, Jefferson Exchange producer. So let's get further into what's going on with the trees on the South Coast. Sarah Navarro is a forest pathologist with the Oregon Department of Forestry. Sarah, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're welcome, Jeff.
So based on what Representative Brock Smith was saying, sudden oak death is not just a concern for oak trees then?
No, it's not. Our Oregon nursery industry is also regulated because of sudden oak death. Sudden oak death is caused, as he said, by an organism, Phytophthora morum, that is both federally regulated on the federal level as well as the state level.
So what is, and I noticed that the name Phytophthora, because remember this is also being the same genus of stuff that was attacking Port Orford cedars a few years ago. This is fairly prevalent then, it sounds like.
It is on the South Coast. We do have two different species of Phytophthora down there. The Port Orford cedar root disease is caused by Phytophthora lateralis, which is actually a sister species to Phytophthora morum.
And so how do they work? What exactly do they do to the trees that makes them die?
So for Phytophthora morum, what happens is they cause stem girdling cankers on the tan oaks. And so this disease is spread from canopy to canopy with aerially produced spores on the leaves. And during wind and rain events, they get moved around down there in between the tan oaks. And once the disease takes a hold in the canopy, it produces all of these spores up there. And then those spores get washed down onto the stem of the tan oaks where it forms these cankers that will eventually girdle the tree and kill them.
So tan oak are the vector species. These are the ones where the stuff, they tend to be the host for most of this?
Correct. They are our one major sporulating host down on the South Coast. So as Representative Brock Smith mentioned, conifer species can also be affected, but typically we see just shoot and tip dieback of conifer species. We think of them more as a dead-end host, so the disease doesn't sporulate on them.
Okay, so a conifer is not going to spread it onto the next tree as a tan oak would.
Correct.
All right. So, but when you say there's some dieback on it, does it kill the conifers themselves, or just make them look kind of shaggy?
It makes them look kind of shaggy, and we've only witnessed conifer tip dieback in seedlings and saplings that are growing directly underneath infected tan oaks, and so they're just being rained on by spores, and then those spores are killing the shoots and the tips. As Representative Brock Smith mentioned, the EU1 strain has been shown to be more aggressive on conifers, and that's what they've seen in the United Kingdom. So they have observed mortality or dieback of their conifer tree species in the United Kingdom. There, what they have is sudden larch death. And so they have these massive Japanese larch plantations that are being killed by the same Phytophthora morum. And their larch is the sporulating host, and it's driving the disease, and it forms so many more spores that it's actually killing the conifer species like Douglas fir and Western hemlock that are growing adjacent to those plantations.
Is either strain indigenous to the region? I mean, is Phytophthora ramorum from the South Coast originally?
No. Phytophthora ramorum is actually thought to be from Southeast Asia originally, and they're looking at the origin of it just now. But Phytophthora ramorum was introduced to California and Oregon in the 1990s, most likely through the live plant trade. And so there's been genetic analysis and other studies that have shown that.
Live plant trade, as in somebody ordering plants from overseas?
Or different plant collectors going overseas and collecting a specimen and bringing it back.
There are some regulations to prevent people from taking plants into the country, carte blanche, aren't there?
There are.
Mm-hmm. But they just didn't stop people from taking these particular plants in?
Most likely, that's the case.
We're talking about sudden oak death syndrome, which is infecting trees on both sides of the state line in our coastal regions. We've heard from David Brock Smith, a state representative from Curry County, who's trying to get a task force speeding up the process of looking for answers here. Sarah Navarro's on the line with us right now. She's a forest pathologist from the Oregon Department of Forestry. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Why, Sarah, why coastal regions primarily?
So as we've talked about before, tan oak is really the driver of this disease. And in Oregon, tan oak is mainly along our coastal regions in larger abundance. It does go more inland into Josephine as well as Douglas counties. But so far, we've been able to contain it to the coast. We have a sudden oak death slow the spread program here in Oregon that is a interagency team comprised of the Oregon Department of Forestry, the U.S. Forest Service, Oregon Department of Agriculture, Oregon State University, as well as the Bureau of Land Management, where we are actively managing for sudden oak death in Curry County to contain it.
What are some of the containment procedures or provisions? What are the things you're doing?
So first is the Oregon Department of Agriculture has instituted a quarantine in Curry County. Currently, it comprises about 30% of the county, or 515 square miles down there, and that restricts and regulates the movement of tan oak and harvest of tan oak within the quarantine. And additionally, the Oregon Department of Forestry, as well as the Forest Service and BLM, we are actively going in and doing treatments for sudden oak death, and our treatments involve host removal of infected tan oak.
All right. Is there a point at which you can catch an infected tan oak and it can still survive, or pretty much once it's infected, is it a goner?
It's pretty much a goner. We have not. There have been some trees within the city of Brookings, in and around the city of Brookings, where we are no longer actively doing treatment, and they have survived. But for the most part, it's about 90 to close to 100% mortality of tan oak.
And if it travels as spores, it sounds like you'd want to get a pretty large margin between any infected trees and the ones that are so far uninfected.
That is correct, and that's why on our high priority infestations that we have in Curry County, we strive to do a 300-foot treatment buffer, and so we'll go in and cut, pile, and burn any tan oak within a 300-foot radius of an infected tan oak to try to slow the disease spread. However, we've had cutbacks in our program, and so we aren't able to treat as many of those infestations as we would like to slow the spread.
Why the cutbacks?
Just general funding issues with in the natural resources realm.
Okay, and that was actually some of what we talked to U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley about as well, because we got his take on some of the doings with the Sudden Oak Death Task Force in Curry County. So let's hear from Senator Merkley talking to producer John Baxter last week.
This is an issue I've been involved in from when I was in the Oregon State Legislature. When I was Speaker, I pushed for funds to take this on and try to contain it. It has since spread, and right now we're only treating about a third of the outbreaks from last year, which is unacceptable, because if we don't take them all on, then we're going to say 10 years from now, how did we let get this out of hand? And so between the state legislature and between work, I'm going to try to bring some federal funds to this. I hope I can. We need to address all of the spots that, where we locate it.
Early efforts to address this problem focused on eradication. Has that battle been lost?
Yes. Right now, the experts are saying eradication is not going to be possible. The area has grown substantially, and we had about 60 outbreaks last year. It's killed thousands of tan oak trees. Tan oak are one of the trees where it not only will affect the tree, but it produces a lot more of a spore that affects other trees. And if you have more rain, that moves it faster, more wind. But if you see every outbreak and you follow the protocol, they think they can really either keep it from spreading or really slow it down. And think about what happens if this moves north to Coos Bay, if this comes across into Douglas County. We don't want that to happen.
The Trump budget is not promising to be very friendly to environmental programs. So are you at all confident in being able to secure federal dollars to support the activities of the task force and then also further activities on the ground?
Well, it certainly the budget is devastating to agricultural programs and is devastating to rural Oregon and rural America. It cuts all kinds of things, rural economic development, home grants, community development block grants, support for rural airports. The list goes on and on. I think that we will be able to stop a lot of that vision in the Appropriations Committee that I serve on. Certainly, I'm sure my Republican colleagues and my Democratic colleagues are going to be unhappy with that vision of decimating rural America and certainly also a lot of the clean air and the clean water programs.
U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley talking to our producer John Baxter last Friday here on the Jefferson Exchange. The discussion overall is about sudden oak death on a task force that has formed on the South Coast to deal with sudden oak, which is not only killing tan oak trees, but also allowing it to spread to conifers as well, which is impactful to the Curry County economy. We already heard from David Brock Smith. We're hearing right now from Sarah Navarro, who's a forest pathologist for the Oregon Department of Forestry. And this is a discussion you can join. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Sarah, given the state of the state budget right now, and then what we just heard from Senator Merkley about the federal budget, are there concerns that the money available for fighting sudden oak death could be further curtailed on the South Coast?
That is correct. At right now, we are looking at budget cuts to the sudden oak death program on the state level as well. However, there is a House bill up to maintain current levels of sudden oak death funding at the state level.
How far down is the tan oak species in Curry County at this point? I mean, are you way below where you used to? I mean, is there still a risk at this point of tan oaks just disappearing from Curry County?
There is definitely still a risk of that happening. And so we are hopeful with the sudden oak death task force that we can not only look at slowing the spread of this disease, but also look at starting a resistance program, resistance tree breeding program for tan oak, as well as working with local groups to identify important tan oak stands that are important culturally to try to protect them as well.
You mentioned resistance tree breeding. Before we get to that, I just want to ask in terms of cures rather than prevention, I mean, is there anything that has shown any effectiveness against the fungus, the Phytophthora ramorum, that doesn't also kill the tree?
So there are treatments that landowners can use to prevent the infection of Phytophthora ramorum and their tan oak. It's phosphite. It's a chemical that has been used to control different Phytophthoras around the world for quite some time. And right now there is one landowner down in Curry County that is using the phosphite and stem injecting the chemical in, and he has been able to prevent the disease from getting into his tan oaks. But it's a preventative measure, and it's not a 100% cure.
Mm-hmm. Are there infected tan oaks not far away?
Yes, mm-hmm. They're within feet.
Oh, okay. So really close by. All right. Mm-hmm. So now down to the other part, to prevention for the future. I mean, resistance tree breeding sounds promising. Are there good results in laboratories yet with tan oak species coming out that look like they might actually be resistant to the fungus?
There have been some promising studies done down in California. However, those studies were only conducted using genetic material from California and not from Oregon. So we're hoping within the next year or two to start more resistance trials with Oregon genetic families.
Is there a difference? I know California's been dealing with sudden oak death for quite a few years now as well. Is there much of a difference between the kinds of species that get infected?
There are. So California has many more oak species that become infected from sudden oak death. So they also have their California black oak, coast live oak, and also canyon live oak can become infected from sudden oak death down there. And so they've seen a dramatic dieback of not only tan oak, but then also live oak in their coastal forests in and around the San Francisco Bay Area, as well as in the Big Sur region, too.
Is it less climate or moisture dependent than just tree species dependent? I mean, when you talk about the fact that it's on the coast in Oregon, it sounds like that's also the only place that the tan oak live in Oregon.
It is, but it definitely is moisture and wind dependent. This is it's known as a water mold, and so it's highly dependent on those wet, rainy areas.
Is there a good place, Sarah, where people can go, a state forestry website perhaps, where they can get more information about the sudden oak death and if they live in this zone, how to deal with it?
Yes, the Oregon Department of Forestry website, we have a forest health page where there's more information on sudden oak death.
All right, Sarah Navarro is a forest pathologist with ODF, the Oregon Department of Forestry. Thanks for joining us today to talk about sudden oak death.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.